It's This Week in Classical Music, an update on what's happening in the classical music world. I'm Randy Kinkle. One of classical music's five-star generals recently told graduates at the Curtis Institute of Music that they must become soldiers for music. Deborah Border, president and CEO of the L.A. Philharmonic, soon to head up the New York Philharmonic later this year, told the audience of students, parents, faculty, and guests that everything I took for granted as a musician first and then managing America's great orchestras has changed. Orchestras no longer rely on old-fashioned subscription models. The world I knew and have worked in will not be the one you move through in your careers. Borda, who received an honorary doctorate from Curtis, went on to say, "You are the elite of the micro-kingdom of classical music, but how much time have you spent on your life rather than on your technique?" In her remarks, she urged the high-achieving musical grads to figure out how music fits in with a larger society around them, citing the Los Angeles Philharmonic's Gustavo Dudamel and Venezuela's El Sistema as an example of how music changes lives. Together, we have to forge a more profound and timely connection between our music, the music that we love, and the rest of the world, she said. With all the current concern over the Russians meddling in our recent presidential election, it's worth remembering that a great pianist had his own problems with Russian espionage. Emil Galels, revered by Russians as the greatest pianist of the Soviet era, was the first to win a foreign competition in Brussels in 1938 and the first to be allowed out after Stalin died to become a kind of musical ambassador and earner of cold hard cash for the state coffers. Galels had more to deal with than just the regular problems of an artistic soul and traveling musician, though. He was constantly being watched. His brother-in-law, Leonid Kogan, was a phenomenal violinist who'd gotten in some kind of trouble by being too friendly with Americans, and he became a spy rather than being sent to Siberia as punishment. Mstislav Rostropovich, who played in a trio with Kogan and Galels, broke the group up after finding out that Kogan had compiled a dossier on one of their tours. Other musicians learned to watch what they said and did when Kogan was around. Galels had to be careful what he said in the privacy of his own family. There was really no place he could be safe. Galels died in the care of a Moscow cardiologist at age 68. Conductor Yuri Siegel had talked with the pianist not long before his death and reported that he looked pale and extremely shaken, trembling all over, saying, "They're killing me. My hands are shaking. How do they want me to play a concert now?" It was the KGB harassing him, Siegel said. For more on these and other items and events, go to the website kbach.org. Be listening each week at this time for another update. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Join us every weekday at noon with Linda Cassidy for the Most Wanted Hour, playing your top 100 picks in classical music. I'm Randy Kinkle for This Week in Classical Music, here on listener-supported 89.5 KBAQ Phoenix in HD. We also broadcast on translator K209DV Scottsdale at 89.7, and we're available on the web at kbach.org.